2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God's word to us is that where we have been defeated and discouraged, where we've been overwhelmed, where we've been paralyzed and locked down and imprisoned, that the very message of resurrection is a call for you and I to rise up, to not lay down and give up in those areas. Though some of those areas and some of those ways we have given up and laid down have become very normalized in our life, and we just consider it life, and Jesus is saying, that's not life. There's more for you. And so we've been looking at this. We're going to look at this idea of the fears that tell us, stay down, stay out. We're going to look at how Jesus himself walked through those various fears in his life before the cross. And it really begins with a very practical question for you and I in this season, and it's this. What's the hardest or most important decision you have to make right now in your life? I don't know if you want to write down a particular phrase or a little idea there in your sermon notes. There's a little place for it. But every one of us in this room, we've got some challenge in front of us. We've got some big decision in front of us. And I would venture to say, most of us in this room, we've got something in front of us that's so hard and it's pretty challenging. And we're saying we don't know the answer. But I would submit to you, it's not that you don't know the answer. It's just that there's a lot of fear in walking in that answer. So there's confusion. You say, I don't know. But the truth is, you do know. But there's this fear. And there's, well, if I do that, how's that going to work? And I've tried before. And I've hoped before. And I've had faith before. And there's really a call for us to understand that we can rise up and follow Jesus wherever he's calling to us, no matter how much we've got to face fear to do that. Now, to be honest, I don't know if you've seen this video. Some of us just have no fear whatsoever, okay? We really don't. We're not afraid of what anybody else thinks about us. So our roommate starts singing on video, and we see it, and we think, why not? Let's just kind of jump in. How many people have seen this video? Okay, yeah. I'm not sure what I stand for. Oh, what you know, I stand for? I'm not afraid of what I look like. It gets way better. I don't know anymore. Her roommate's like, what is going on? All right, let's move on. Okay. Some of us have no fear about anything. Maybe we need to be a little concerned about what people are thinking about us. I was online the other day, and there was this list of life's most difficult decisions, and maybe you're in a few of them right now. I thought it was very interesting, the list they built. Most of them we say yes. Choosing a college major, deciding on a career, making a career change. I was thinking about 22 years ago, and Sarah and I were up in Pennsylvania, and I was in marketing, and we loved serving at the church, and then the Lord had this giant call for us to say, hey, why don't you go serve as a youth pastor down someplace called Chester, Virginia? We had to make this giant change in our career, and all the fears that were there as we thought about the what ifs of me. It's kind of, I know the answer. There's a lot of fear in making that answer. There's a lot of us in this room going back to school and what that means to believe that we could get ready for the next stage of life. Where to live. Such a big decision. Buying a home. And number four, who to date. Oh, my word. I was thinking about that one, too. I was so afraid to ask Sarah out because I did not want to get rejected that I might tell a story on myself later. Quite embarrassing. But trying to make that decision, am I going to date that person? Should I get married? When and how, you know, when am I going to have children? And number one, I thought this was on the secular website. I forget the one. I just think like lifehackers.com or something like that. Number one was toughest decision you'll ever make. When to let go. When to let go of what was good, and when to let go of bitterness, and when to let go of the fears of the past, and when to let go, like, that was great, but we've kind of outgrown that, and it's time to believe for something more. I think that's a great point. The thing that there's a lot of us, we know we should let go of some stuff, but there's a lot of fear in letting go. And faith is all about saying, you've seen this, you've had this, but what about letting go and believing me that there are greater days ahead, that there are things I'm calling you to in a bigger way? So I think all of us are in that place somehow. Now, those are hard decisions. If life is easy, even those are hard decisions. But if you've been reading the Bible Project with us, have you noticed that almost every psalm, David or the psalmist is talking about the enemies he has to face? Do you ever notice that the Bible from Genesis, and I literally could list verses from every book of the Bible we've read so far, and plenty of them, that someone who's following God, who's trusting in Him, is talking about all the enemies they're facing in life. Like, there's just enemies to face in this life. And those hard decisions are even harder because we have these enemies in our life. And these enemies in our life are causing us to be afraid. They're causing us to step back. And the Bible's pretty clear. You've got enemies. And they're enemies of your soul. And they're enemies of victory. And they're enemies of life and love. And they sound all good and sweet, and they make sense in your brain sometimes, but I'm telling you what, they're enemies of God's best in your life. And if you've looked through the passages, we're reading in Joshua. I mean, isn't Joshua all about God's people facing enemies and the issue of whether they're going to win or lose? The issue, are they going to just stop where they are? Or are they going to go and actually live out and live in the full promises of God for themselves? All of the Psalms, arise, O Lord, in your anger, rise up against the rage of my enemies, awake, my God, decree. This person believes in God. This person trusts in God. There's still enemies in life, even when you're believing in God and you're trying to follow Him. There's still challenges and battles. We sung about them constantly in worship today. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because what? Because you prepare a table, it's really a banquet idea, before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. Right in the middle of them, God's doing something good. We just read yesterday in Psalm 69, draw near to my soul, redeem me, ransom me because of my enemies. There are things in my life that are warring against what is good and peace in my life. You're going to read tomorrow in Psalm 71, again, about the enemies of life. And in the Old Testament, those enemies are a lot about physical circumstances. In the New Testament, we start seeing the most biggest enemy we got to conquer is right in here, in the sinful nature, in the fearful ways we live, in the pride of our life. And so the Bible is just, it's just clear. You've got some enemies, all right? Your marriage has enemies. Your families have enemies, and a lot of times you're so frustrated and fighting against each other. We're fighting against each other when it's really there's an enemy in this world. There's Satan working. There's the world lies. They're trying to pull us apart. And those enemies, they attack us with fear. That's what they do. They make us afraid. The way they manipulate and dominate us is they cause us to be afraid. And those fears become a prison that we stay in. And why we're bringing all this up is because fear always leads to defeat. I say here pretty often, I don't know what decision you should make, but I'll tell you the one not to make, the one based on fear. That decision, hands down, 100% of the time, wrong decision. Wrong decision. And I want you to think about what this looks like, okay? This is my little diagram of the heart. You'll see in the handout there, Proverbs 4:23 says, be really careful about guarding your heart. Be careful what gets in your heart and on your heart and what influences your heart, because your heart is the wellspring of life. Everything good happens based on where your heart is at. And you see, your heart has an enemy. It's got enemies in this world, and its circumstances and pain, and there are things that are pressing against it. And those enemies produce fear. And maybe it's a fear that's unfounded in the sense it's never happened to you, but you're worried it's going to happen to you. Or maybe it's a fear based on what happened to you on the past, and you're afraid it's going to happen again. And the truth of that, the lies of the enemy always have a lot of truth to it, so there's enough reference point to legitimize those fear that in the end, you make mistakes. You make mistakes based on fear. All right, embarrassing moment real quick. So I really like this girl, Sarah Pfister, right? She's beautiful. She had college. I see her all the time. Talk to her. But I'm afraid that, you know, I already know she's out of my league. I get it. All right. You know, but I want to at some point say, you know, ask her out, but I don't know how. And so we're friends though. And we talk all the time. So I decide I'm going to see if I could just see that maybe she likes me, but I'm afraid to really ask her. So Mr. Pathetic over here decides to have lunch with her. And having lunch, we always talk about relationships. I say, yeah, you know, I used to like you. And, you know, and I'm hoping at that moment she's going to go, oh, really? Maybe there's a chance. Instead, she's like, you're an idiot. Go away. All right. Like, I almost blew my entire chance to see her because in my fear, I made a mistake. It's like, oh, this is a great idea. It's like, no, that's a really stupid idea, Sean. That's a really lousy idea. But what happens is we've got fears, and because fears, we make bad decisions. And when we make mistakes, that leads to pain, all right? It hurts. All of a sudden, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, how many guys playing sports, seeing some of my basketball players here? I mean, how many times it has nothing to do whether we can hit the jump shot or not. It's that we're so worried we're going to miss it, we miss it, all right? It's just the issue of fear leads to mistakes, and mistakes leads to pain, and pain leads to weaknesses. And guess what an enemy loves to capture in you? Guess where an enemy loves to focus on? If you're weak, oh, I'm your enemy, but you're weak there. I won't touch that. No. No. What an enemy does is it finds your weakness, and this cycle goes again and again and again and just works around and around until you are discouraged, you're defeated, you're deceived, and then you say those words that are not in the Bible. And those words are this. Well, that's just how it is. You just decide to live life how it is. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that you say those words and that you decide to live that way. You say, but Pastor Sean, I've got all sorts of stories of fears and pains and weaknesses and mistakes. It is that way. It's like, no, it's not that way. You serve a God of resurrection. You serve a God who's absolutely able to take dead things and make them alive, speak and create something out of nothing. It isn't that way. It's just that you are that way. And Jesus has called us to set us free. I mean, here's the big idea that we're going to look at in some really practical, powerful ways through the next few weeks. But it's this. Fear controls us more than we realize. More than we realize. Fear controls us. It makes us think this is normal. This is life. This is how it is. And it's not. Because Jesus came to set us free and to cause us to do what? Rise up. To rise above those things. Are they there? Yes. Can you get above them? Absolutely. In the power of Jesus, you can. You are absolutely made to rise up. And so we're going to look at that in this series. What we're going to do is, starting next week, we're going to start, and the Lord gave me this series last Easter. I was reading through the time from the Last Supper, when there was the communion was given to us, through the cross, and I started recognizing places of fear that even Jesus himself had to choose to overcome and to have faith over. And I started recognizing them all through the story, all the way to the cross, that there were fears that were trying to face Jesus to tell him not to do the Father's will. And even though some of those fears seem like, listen to this, some of those fears seem like they came true, because the cross was a place that people fear for good reason, that God had a plan that went way through that fear all the way to resurrection, that now every knee bows to, every tongue confesses his victory and authority over the world, over the universe. And you and I are in the same place. We're in places that we've got to face fears. And so these are the fears we're going to look at. And actually, the Lord spoke a word through one of our elders, Chuck King, about one of these this morning. We're going to talk about the fear of people. It says there right in Luke 22, the Pharisees fear the crowd. And Jesus is going to have to face the fear of people and their judgment and their injustice. And he's going to have to do that. The fear of the unknown, time and time again, in any type of report about what people fear the most, it's the unknown. And a lot of times, the reason we're not letting go to do what's next is because we don't know how next is going to go, but we do know how we are right now. And we may be miserable and unhappy, but at least we know it. At least we're familiar with it. And there's a great fear of the unknown. And Chuck, in the middle of worship, came up, said, I just sensed this morning someone is afraid of the unknown, that they don't know what's ahead. And I think it was King Jehoshaphat, right, Chuck? Jehoshaphat didn't know the outcome of what was going to happen next, and he prays, said, we don't know what's going on, but our eyes are on you. And that's going to be the answer. We all, on Easter Sunday, and I do, would you please, this is the week to make sure you're building some bridges with some friends and neighbors. This is the week to text them, not to invite them to Easter. I mean, you may, if you already have had some guidance, this may be just to check in with them and see how they're doing and make sure you're praying for them. But on Easter Sunday, we're going to talk about the fear of condemnation. And really, that connects to the idea of shame. I live in shame, and I fear that, and I do everything to avoid it in my life. We're going to look at the week after on insignificance. I'm not enough. I'm not worth anything. And then we're going to really, and probably go into 2 weeks, on the issue of pain and just how much we fear that. And we will be miserable and we'll be defeated and we'll be discouraged, but we'll just avoid the pain. And we'll talk about the irony of the cross and resurrection in that. It's going to be an amazing series as we start today. And so through Jesus, we have the power to break fear. And then, you know, all these songs we sing about freedom, we talk about being free. It really is the issue of being free from the fear of the enemy. I mean, if you get away from, if he can't convince you in fear, then he's got no power over you anymore. And then you're literally free from him. And so we're going to talk about that over these next few weeks. But before we talk about all these fears specifically, let's just talk about the idea of what fear does. And fear is the opposite of this verse. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. I would encourage you, either during this message or when you get home, I would encourage you to set your alarm on your phone or put in your Outlook an appointment, an alarm, for 2:17 p.m. and do it daily for the next week. 2:17 p.m., 2 Timothy 1:7. Let that alarm go off in the middle of your appointment and your meeting and your work and everything else. Let it go off and be a reminder. If you're good in your Outlook when it comes up, have the verse pop up. Like, write it out, okay? Because this verse tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a self-control. And so here's the issue. When we do have a spirit of fear, we don't have power, love, or self-control, because that's the opposite. If we are living in power, love, and self-control, fear is not operating. When we have a spirit of fear among us, that's not what we live in. So, fear is the root of the issue of defeat. So instead of having power to overcome difficulties, I just become a victim of it. All right, and so I live in defeat. Fear is the root of living in isolation. If I don't have a spirit of fear, then I have a spirit of love. And so I do relationship well. But I'm telling you what, if there's one thing that ruins every relationship that you and I are in, it's the issue of fear. And then the issue of self-control. If I don't have a spirit of fear, then I do have self-control. But if I'm living in a spirit of fear, I live in addiction. And those addictions come from the fears in our life. If you look at the biggest regret you probably have in life, you can dig down and find the fear that was the root to all of it. I was afraid of this, so I did that. Boom. And now, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Because the spirit of fear causes all these things. One other way to say it is people who live in fear, they don't cope well, they don't love well, and they don't control themselves well. All right? It's just how it is. When I live in the spirit of fear, I do not cope well with the challenges and the problems of life. I don't love well because fear always makes me defensive, closed up, and thinking more about me than the other person. And so they're imperfect, but they're trying to love me, but I push them away the wrong way. And then, or maybe I know how incredibly toxic they are, but I fear being alone and that I'm not lovable in some other way, so I choose to stay in that relationship. And then the issue of controlling themselves well. So let's just have a quick little reality check, okay? You've got to do all three of these because this is life. You don't have a choice not to play these three games in life. You're in all three of them. You've got to cope well. You've got to love well. You've got to control yourself well, all right? You don't get an option whether you choose to work on these or not. So you can't have a spirit of fear because here's the reality check. You're not going to have problem-free circumstances in life. Anybody want to dispute that one with me here? Is there someone I'm not aware of? Okay, look, life is not about the absence of problems in your life. The way I say it is life is actually about just making sure you got the right problems. All right, we're going to talk either at the end of today or the next time. Like, when you choose right for God, there are some problems to make that right decision. Like, and that's usually what keeps you. It's like, well, I want to do that, but here are the problems to that. All right? There's no problem-free circumstances. So how are you going to navigate life if you can't cope? And if you want to cope well, you've got to press in with Jesus about this issue of fear in your life and rising up above it. In the end, life is not bad because it has problems. All right? That doesn't make a bad life. What makes a bad life? It's not about bad being around me. It's about bad being in me. Then life's not good when bad's in me, all right? If it's around me, welcome to this world. I mean, that's where you are. Bad's going to be around you all your life, okay? And it's not a discouraging thought. We can rise above and see a lot of transformation in it if we choose to not have a spirit of fear, all right? Reality check number two, you're not going to have problem-free relationships. Look at that person you came with and say, you know, that's right. All right, that's definitely right. All right, it's just, and there are problems, okay? And the greatest gift in all your life, when you finish up life, we've had two great celebration of life here at church in the last 3 weeks. We're not going to show slideshows of your workplace or your car or that party you went to. We're just going to show slides of the people who loved you. That's the only thing we're going to do. When we remember your life, we're going to show pictures of people in your life, because that's going to define your life. That is what life is about. God is Trinity. He is relationship. Your life is about relationship. And so there are problems in relationships, and we've just got to learn to love well. And I'm telling you what, the spirit of fear, it breaks down loving the right way. And it makes us very confused about how to have a relationship. And then reality check number three, you're not going to have a problem-free heart, okay, which is problem-free habits in life. We talked yesterday at the marriage conference about the fact that 6 out of every 10 Christian guys have viewed pornography at least once this month. And this issue of this, we've got a sinful nature. We've got this thing that always gravitates to the wrong thing, and we do not have a problem-free heart. We've got to have a place. We're not going to get out of our addictions. We're not going to find healing if we live in the spirit of fear about them. But we've got to trust the Lord and His example in moving forward. So those are just the reality checks of life. We've got to have this. I mean, in the end, this real life does not promise you peace. It's not making any. I mean, it's going to sell you a few things, all right? But I'm telling you what, this life, it's not promising you peace. But Jesus does. I mean, here's the amazing thing. Jesus does promise peace. He promises it. And we've been reading all through the Torah and in Deuteronomy and Joshua, and now we're in Judges, about people facing the enemies of life, facing the fears that come with it, to live in the promised land. And John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have problems. But take heart. I've overcome them, rose above them. They can literally be there. You can be above them because I am with you. I love the passage in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled And do not be what? Afraid. You do not have to live in the spirit of fear for what's in front of you. That tough decision that's right in front of you right now. Deuteronomy 31:7. It's going to see it again in Joshua a few times. Be strong and what? Courageous. For you shall go with his people into the land that the Lord has promised to give them. You shall put them in possession of it. I mean, the victory, I mean, here's the other fact. When we live in fear, we teach our children to live in fear. All right? When we live in fear, we hand that off. And God's got grace and mercy. He's not sitting there trying to see if we're perfect or not. He wants us to enjoy life, enjoy the people we love around us, and enjoy seeing them grow to the next level. And God has that for all of us. Our courage and our faith in him is not just for us, but people that we need to help get to the promised land as well. Joshua 1:6, be strong and what? Courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I promised to their forefathers to give them. There are some promises God's made to grandparents in your life that you're about to live out and hand victory to the generation underneath you. I mean, you're that important in this world. And so here's what it's going to take to rise up. And we're going to look at this over the next few weeks. And we're really just going to begin in our own hearts. The correct answer is Jesus, because we are in church, okay? What's it going to take to rise up? It's going to take Jesus and a whole lot of Jesus, all right? It's not going to take you figuring life out. It's not going to be if those people aren't in your life. That's not the key to rise up. The key to rise up is Jesus, because he is what? The resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, even when he runs into problems. He's going to rise up. He's going to rise above it, because he is the resurrection. And what you and I need is not a lot of less other people. What we need is a lot of him. And our degree of rising up is our going to be degree of trusting and living and saying yes to him. Now, you need a lot of Jesus, but you also need a lot of this thing right here, courage. Could call it faith, could call it trust. I'm telling you what, there's no such thing as being a Christian and not living in courage. Anybody who thinks that Christianity is boring is like, I don't know what you're doing, but not the real thing. Real thing, I am awake, fully engaged, and fully aware of what's in life. And what I'm doing, though, is God has called me to courage. I'm with Christ. These disciples who... Peter, who just can't even handle one servant girl asking him if he knows, do you know Jesus? At the end, he's in front of 3,000 sharing the gospel, because Jesus is risen in his life, and now everything has changed. And so I want you to think of this. You've probably heard it before, the definition of courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's not. It's the presence of a faith in a greater God. It's the presence of a faith in a greater God. That's what courage is. Courage is when it's not that I'm not aware. It's not that I'm not realistic about some of the things in my life. It's not that I don't remember what happened. And it's not that I'm not paying attention to what the world's saying. But what happens is I've got a courage. I've got a trust. I've got a faith in a God who's greater, saying, I say, yes, you can. I say that is yours. I say that is who you are. And although everything else says no, because he says yes, you do things and people are like, that's like the bravest person I've ever met. It's like, no, I'm just following him. I'm just following him and his greatness. It's just that problem, so small compared to it. So I'm thinking about this idea of always being called to courage. And I'm thinking about the disciples. As we're getting ready, you know, the whole idea of resurrection is that there was this holy week. There was this week where it all came to a head, where all the greatest fears of the disciples, they had to face head on and even experience. And then they got to resurrection. And so, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 24, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, the night one of his greatest fears happened, all right? Took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. do this in remembrance of me. It was a fear that was trying to press against him. I'm sure Christ, he resisted. He never succumbed to it, but he knew it was there. On the night when some of the very relationships that were most important to him gave way, and the thing he, a person would fear happening to the most happened to him, on that night when he knew these things, he had this moment. On that night when he had the disciples in that room, and there was certainly a sense of, this is really happening. We're really going to have to walk through this. In that moment, Jesus said, hey, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Let me walk you all the way through. I will tell you, if we do this series right, one of the things you will see is that there is a beautiful work when God often creates miracles of Red Sea parting, and it's like, wow, praise the Lord, I didn't have to face that or walk through that. But then the Bible's really clear in the very example of Jesus that sometimes, like, I did have to walk through that. And that was one of my greatest fears. But guess what happened? I rose again as I walked through it. Like, it wasn't the end. And in the end, I rose above and I rose up with Christ, and wow, he is good. And so you and I mean, you've got to walk with Christ, because I don't know how those two work in your life. I don't know if you're getting a Red Sea, or I don't know if you're getting a resurrection past the cross. That's between the Lord and you, okay? And he's going to be faithful. Most of us in our life are going to experience all those. We're going to experience incredible miracles before, and sometimes we're going to walk all the way through and experience the resurrection at the end of it. It's just, this is this world, and this is our good and great God who does more than we can ask for or imagine. But when the disciples were in that moment, in the moment we're going to do communion here, Pastor Brandon, if you want to come up and get set up for communion, there are three questions that you've got to ask about if you want to have courage in life. And I want to break these down for you for a moment. And that really, these three, all the disciples had to choose in the moment that of when the Last Supper through the cross. Here they are. The first one is this: what is the right thing to do? All right? Courage asks that question. All right? Selfishness, fear, compromise, greed, that doesn't ask that question. Courage asks this question. I'm in the middle of a hard moment. I've got a hard question. I've got a hard decision in front of me. And I dare to ask the question, what's really the right thing to do? What according to God's word, what's the right thing to do? Some of us, we've not asked that question because we don't want to know the answer to it. All right? But courage says, I'm going to ask the question, what's the right thing to do? What does the word of God say? What is trusted, consistent, mature Christians around me that I respect and I see the fruit of their life? What do they say about it? They're not going to know my life. They can't make the decision for me. But what's the right thing to do according to God's word? That's a question of courage. And let me tell you what, we're living in a world where not too many people are asking that question anymore. They're not asking what's the right thing to do. They're asking what feels right. That's what they're asking. I'm telling you, it's tragic because there's no courage in that answer. And there's no resurrection in that answer. Number two, whose will do I want done? Because you know, when you're facing a hard question and someone asks you what to do and you say, I don't know, most of the times you do know. You just see the problems with the right answer. So you say, I don't know. You do know. What you're saying is, like, if I make the right choice, I don't know how to face those problems, is what you're saying. But you know the right choice. Courage chooses, all right, whose will do I want to get done here? Do I want mine or do I want God's? Because God's saying this is what he wants. God's saying this is the way of blessing. God's saying this is the way of victory. That sure feels like facing my fears instead of running from them. And I thought Jesus loved me, and so I don't have to deal with any fears. It's like, no, Jesus does love you. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Walk through it. These are questions of courage. And then the last one, do I trust God to be faithful? And I'm telling you what, that's the question. That is the question. Okay, I know the right answer. I've decided in my life I want the will of God to be done. Wow, that decision seems like stepping off a cliff. Do I trust God to be faithful? And it comes down to that question. Jesus is at the moment of communion. He's at the Last Supper, and he's saying, just trust in me, guys. Trust in me. Jesus, this seems like a nightmare to face. Trust in me. Have courage. I'm with you. I don't know what your question is, all right? I don't know when we started this message. I don't know what your question is there, but I'm telling you, there's a God who's saying, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. So I'm going to ask our eldership, and I think some of our pastors, they're going to come up, and what we're going to do for communion is we're going to do something a little different this morning. I kind of feel like it's a season where every Sunday we've got to be real sensitive to the unique thing God wants to do, because he's got us in a place of crossing over into the promised land as a church even. So here's what we're going to do this morning. When we start worship, we're going to have you stay seated. And I'm praying that God is talking to you about a very clear decision in front of you. A place that's going to require courage to follow him. And what I'm going to invite you to do is at some point during worship, I'd like you to rise up, step out, and say, Jesus, I'm with you. I'm with you in this decision. I don't even know what the decision, I don't even know how this is all working yet, but I'm with you. Jesus, I choose, you're faithful to me. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but all I'm doing is I'm just saying yes to you. And as we do that, because I want it to be a personal moment, like it was personal for the disciples in the middle of their fears, Jesus saying, trust in me, I'm with you. As we do that, we've got a number of our leadership, our elders, and our deacons here. And like you just to, as easily as you can, just try to be sensitive to people walking up down and come up and find a place for communion. They're just going to give you the body of Christ that was broken for you. Just going to receive it right there. The blood of Christ is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Something about the blood is poured out for forgiveness. And you're just going to receive it right there and then place it back. Just amen. It's not going to be a long time up here. Obviously, we've got to serve communion to everybody. But just take that moment and say, Lord, I'm choosing to rise up. So we're just going to begin in worship. And as you're doing that, some of us in this room, we've known we've needed to say yes to Jesus for a really long time. All right? But we just see the problems of changing our life to the way it should be. I want to say today's the day of having courage. I'm just going to choose to say yes. So Lord, I pray now that your people would rise up, that they would live in the victory and the joy that only you can give them, not because there is no fear being threatened them, being pushed towards them, but because they have risen above with you. Lord, on the night you were betrayed, you took this bread and you took this cup, and you said this is a new covenant. That was about you always being faithful to them, and we were to take it as a sign that, yes, Lord, I say yes to you, to this covenant. I say yes over my fears, over my troubles, over my problems, over my fears. I say yes to you. So would you now use this time of worship? And Lord, we ask that you would guide us in it. Lord, be glorified and be pleased, and let us follow you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said. For those who want to start us off, feel free to come forward and find a place of communion. As you're worshiping, feel free to come forward and find a place of communion.